pray. Oh, Father, thank you for sending your Son. Would you know, you knew what he was going to go through. Thank you for your great love for us. Thank you, Jesus, for your willingness to give your life, for the joy set before you for us in this room today. And Lord, thank you for this message of resurrection, the hope that it gives us. Lord, in my weakness, may I speak the hope that you have in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Put yourself in the place of those women as they were going to the tomb that day. What were they experiencing? Just 1 week before, right? 1 week before, what was happening? Big celebration, Palm Sunday. Hey, they thought everything's going great. Jesus is finally getting the honor. But then this unexpected Good Friday, Dark Friday. Have you ever had an unexpected Dark Friday? Going along and all of a sudden someone you love dies, or a broken marriage, or you find yourself struggling with an addiction, or a life-threatening disease. Jenny had a dark Friday, didn't she? When those kids, I mean, this didn't happen just a few times. It happened again and again where these kids would make fun of her and she'd come home crying. And can you imagine what her parents were experiencing? I asked Cherry, what were you and Ron experiencing? And she said, we were brokenhearted. But you know what else she said? We were angry. You get that? And that made me think, you know, I bet these women were angry too. I think they were brokenhearted, but they were probably angry at the religious leaders. They were probably angry at the Roman government. They're probably also maybe angry at themselves. I've noticed sometimes when someone dies, or you wonder, could I have done something to prevent that from happening? And sometimes you can kind of get angry at yourself. And so these women had absolutely no expectation of resurrection. They were going there to take care of the dead body of Jesus Christ. Now, you know, one of the reasons I trust the Bible is because it's so authentic. It's so real. It shares about people that made mistakes. I appreciate Pastor Niall getting up and just being real. We want to be authentic in this church. Hey, I forgot to do something today. But there's grace, isn't there? But the Bible's so authentic. And the very writers, the gospel writers, were writing about themselves, but they didn't try to make themselves look very good, did they? I mean, there was no political spin to this. They didn't try to cover up the fact how dense they were about believing that Jesus needed to die and be raised from the dead. They didn't get it. And they share that, and they're writing about themselves for the most part. So there may be some here today. I hope so. Welcome. But there may be some here today that you don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, or you wonder about it. Well, you're in the right place. But I want you to know you're in good company, because the disciples resisted believing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They resisted believing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But does it really make a difference? Is it very important? What difference does a resurrection make in life? Well, here, this is one of our Anglican pastors. She writes for the New York Times a lot, and she said this about the resurrection. If it is true, then the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most determinative fact of the universe, the center point of history. The resurrection is ultimately truer and more lasting than death or destruction, violence or viruses. Is that good news? If it's true, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ worth investigating? Is it worth pursuing to see if it's true? If it's that important, If somebody's wondering, could it be true? Isn't it worth taking the time to investigate to see if it's really true? But often, one of the things that blocks us, hinders us in life, is prejudice. Prejudice was hurting Jenny. There was prejudice there on that school bus, the way they treated her. Prejudice hurts people, doesn't it? Prejudice hurts people. I like this definition. Prejudice is a negative, preconceived opinion that's not based on reality or truth. You know, there's a museum of tolerance in L.A., and you go through that museum, and there's a one room you get into, and there's two doors. One door says prejudiced, and the other door says unprejudiced. Guess what? This door doesn't open. Unprejudiced doesn't open. So if you leave that room, you have to go through the door that says prejudiced. Do we all struggle with that? If you don't think you struggle with it, then you're probably the unconscious victim of it. So prejudice hurts people, and it prevents us from seeing the truth about life sometimes. And there were three prejudices that the disciples had to overcome to experience and believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The first one is one that says, basically, is there a God? And if there is a God, does he intervene in human life? Does he care about us in human life, us as humans? And so a prejudice just towards believing that something miraculous like the resurrection of Jesus could really happen. Last Easter, an Anglican pastor, Esau McCulley, who at one time lived in this area and was over at St. John's in Portsmouth, wrote this article. He's also another writer for the New York Times. He wrote this article, "The Unsettling Power of Easter. The holiday is about much more than a celebration of spring." So he wrote that article, New York Times, and he said, this is a quote, "Christians at their best are the fools who dare to believe in God's power to call dead things to life." And then he goes on, and basically the article is about how growing up in the black church, that he found that there was hope there. And he felt the source of the hope in the black church was the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Very good article. But it's the New York Times. You know how they have comments after an article? Let me show you a couple of the comments, okay? Here, this person quotes him, "Christians at their best are the fools who dare believe in Christ's power to call dead things to life." But what's he go on? "That's always how I felt about Christians. That's why I'm an atheist." Is that attitude out there? You know, at the time of Jesus' death, there were Jews that didn't believe in life after death. They thought when you die, and Jews, a lot of Jews believe that today, when you die, that's it. Some Jews and people believe that just there was a soul that left your body. And some believed in the bodily resurrection of Jesus, but I don't think they believed in the resurrected kind of body that Jesus brought into reality to us. So here's another quote from the comments below his article. "Easter is unsettling, indeed, if you believe in fairy tales. I choose not to." And then you can see there are no lukewarm responses. And here's another one, but more positive. "This piece is by far the most moving work I've read in the Times over more than 25 years of readership. Thank you for providing me the frame I desperately need right now. I will talk about it with my children as we celebrate this weekend, capping off our week that started with Passover." So that's the first prejudice, just believing that somebody could be raised from the dead. Second prejudice is the one the disciples had. They had a prejudice against believing that the Messiah needed to suffer. We had a powerful service, Good Friday, Isaiah 52:53, where it talks about the suffering servant. But they didn't get that suffering servant. They had a political concept of the Messiah, and a political Messiah would not need to die. He'd not need to be, he certainly wouldn't be nailed between two thieves on a cross. But let's look at this next passage. So the women had entered the tomb, and when they entered the tomb, they were happy that the stone was rolled back. The angel had rolled back the stone, the Gospels tells us. Did the stone have to roll back for Jesus to get out? No. Why was it rolled back? So we could see that the tomb was empty. And so the stone was rolled back. So what did they do? They went right into the tomb. And then what did they find there? Just it was empty. They saw the grave clothes. But there was these two men, and it says that they were like lightning. There was this brightness about them. And in fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man," see, I've underlined this word, "must be delivered." They knew that he died, but they didn't know that he had to die. They had to learn that he had to die and why he had to die. "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." So now on the road to Emmaus, Jesus is talking to some disciples. He said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow of heart." Now, if you're writing about yourself, are you going to, I mean, there's no spin here. You know, here they're writing about the apostles and their disciples and said, "How foolish you are, how slow of heart, how dense you are to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning, how would you like to be at this Bible study? "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." And so he had to explain to them why he had to suffer. About Isaiah 52 and 53, I think he talked a lot about that. And Isaiah 52, 53 is quoted a lot by Jesus. But you know what the third prejudice is that they had to deal with? There was a cultural prejudice against women. There's a cultural prejudice against women. So what these women, they became believers, didn't they, after seeing this? And what did they do? They were excited, and they ran to tell the apostles about that Jesus is alive, that he's risen from the dead. They heard from this angel. You know, Augustine said that these are the first preachers of the resurrection, this handful of women, first preachers of the gospel of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You know how far it's gone? There are 2.3 billion believers on earth today. About one out of every third person believes in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from this handful of women preaching the resurrection. But the first audience they preached to was the apostles. How did the apostles handle it? Do you remember what Tom read today? What did the apostles say? It was, sounded like nonsense. That's the NIV. The ESV is a little more literal. It's idle tales. I think God was setting up these guys, and he was setting up their prejudice, and he wanted to deal with their prejudice, and they told the story about themselves, about their prejudice, and how foolish they looked because they didn't believe these women. Now, again, it was layered. You know, they didn't believe the Messiah had to suffer. And then now these women were telling the story. They didn't believe it. But thank the Lord. He doesn't give up on us, does he? He keeps going after us. But it says they believed it was nonsense. But what did Peter do? You remember what happened with Peter? He took off, didn't he? And we know from the Gospel of John that John went with him. Now, John gets a little, again, this is the authentic nature of Scripture, but John has to mention twice that he beat Peter to the tomb. Isn't that male ego? He had to mention twice that he beat. But they both get to the tomb, but what happens? Where John stops on the outside, right? And Peter goes in. and he finds the grave clothes. And the Greek word to talk about the grave clothes is that they're just laying there as if there was a body inside them that disappeared. If you were in that tomb, what do you think you would have seen that day? I think you would have seen this transformation into a glorious resurrected body. And I think those grave clothes just flattened out. That's the impression, just flattened out. You know, if somebody was stealing the body of Jesus, would they have taken time to take off the grave clothes? Would they have left them very neatly? If Jesus was taking off the grave clothes, they'd have to be ripped, right? But they were just laying there, just laying there. And if we'd have been inside that tomb and we'd have seen that body was being transformed into something new, wonderful, and glorious, Jesus would have passed through those grave clothes as he would pass through closed doors later that day. Now, they were locked in a room. What did he do? He just appeared to them. So Jesus is alive. He is risen. And he has a resurrected body. But again, I plead with anyone here that wonders about Jesus, be like Peter and be like John and just check it out. Just go and check it out. There's a guy named Lee Strobel, investigative reporter. His wife became a Christian. And he thought, this is going to ruin my marriage. So he wanted to deconstruct her faith. And he knew, if I can disprove the resurrection, Chaplain Martin quoted it right away. Paul said, if Jesus has not been raised from the dead, then our faith is in vain. Our preaching's in vain. That means if he hasn't been raised from the dead, Tom, you and I are out of a job. I mean, we're just scamming people right now if there's no resurrection from the dead. Ken, Pastor and I, we're all out of work. We're out of life, yeah. There's a lot more to than our jobs ahead. Yes, beautiful. And so, please, check it out. If it's as important as we believe it is, eternity is a long time, and you don't want to make a mistake about eternity. You want to have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that gives you eternal life, that you know when you die, you go and you're with the Lord. Now, what will our bodies be like that when we're resurrected? Oh, here's a great quote, too. Just kind of reinforce what I just said. Why don't we read it together? Jesus rose from the dead. He didn't rise from the dead. And why worry about any of what he said? The issue on which everything hangs is whether or not he is teaching. Amen? So that's the key. Investigate it if you don't know what you believe about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so what about us and our bodies? What will they look like? Well, here Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, the great chapter on the resurrection. So it'll be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable, but it's raised imperishable. It's sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, it's raised in power. It's sown a natural body, but it's raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last man, which is Jesus, I'm sorry, the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. But our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his, say it, glorious body. Am I have the right slide up here? Oh. All right, I don't know what happened.
Not there, but it's here.
That's right, amen. Thank you, I did that on purpose so Tom would say that. And so his glorious body by the power that enables him to be the subject of all things to himself. So many people need what Jenny talked about today. Here's what she said. She said, nothing is impossible with God. He certainly did change my heart. He's the only one who can show you the truth about how wonderful you are. Do you think young people need to hear that today? How wonderful you are. And reveal to you the special purpose he has for your life. It breaks my heart to hear about the suicide rate going up. I remember years ago, I got some call from these parents. And it was a young adult. He was in his 20s. I walked in the house. I can still see it. Walked in the house. He was right there in this chair with a gun to his head. Now, usually you'd call the police, but I think the parents knew if the police walked in, you would have probably pulled the trigger. I had a relationship with him. I thank God for the Holy Spirit. What do you say? How do you handle a situation like that? But the resurrected Jesus is alive in me. I was able to minister hope to him. We continue to get Christmas cards every year from the family. Hope. So here's what the resurrection of Jesus Christ means for you and I today as we look at people around us. That we can look at anybody, no matter how down you are, how depressed you are, how much you're in despair or discouragement, how addicted you are, how much you're struggling, we can look at anybody straight in the eyes, look at them straight in the eyes and say there's hope for you because of Jesus Christ. Is that right? We have that gospel. We can look at anybody in the eyes and say, Jesus has been raised from the dead. So what does that mean? It means love is stronger than hatred. It means hope is stronger than despair. It means that God's life is stronger than death. Amen? If there's anyone here that hasn't received the Lord, ask Jesus into their life. If you don't know, you're going to heaven. When you come forward, and you don't have to receive communion, but when you can just come forward. And I would just ask you to bring a part of the insert or a part of the bulletin and just have it in your hand so we'll know to pray for you. There's a guy in our church named Mark Bagwell that did that a few years ago. And what a difference his life, how transformed he is because of just letting us pray for him to receive the Lord. So please, we're going to have three communion lines. Just bring something up and somebody up there that will be ministering communion will be pray for you to receive Christ. Or maybe you've fallen away from Christ. You haven't been in the church in years. You don't know. Come up and just let us pray for you. This is Resurrection Sunday. What a great day to experience the full hope and truth about Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.